Our reading today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 18. Paul said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy." Paul gave Timothy a charge. The word charge here means a command. It means an exhortation. It means the duty that Paul was giving to Timothy. Now, this comes from a word that is also used in verse 5 of this chapter. It's the same word that is translated commandment in verse 5, where Paul said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." So this charge that Paul was committing to Timothy is simply what Paul tells him to do in this book. It refers to the instructions and the exhortations and the responsibilities that Paul gave to Timothy in this book. That is the charge that Paul is talking about. Remember, Paul was an apostle, and he had the right to give this charge to Timothy. He said, "I commit this charge to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." Now, what kind of prophecies does Paul refer to here? These are prophecies that were given earlier about Timothy. What kind of prophecies does Paul mention here? Well, these are not Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament did not prophesy of Timothy. The Old Testament prophesied mainly of Jesus Christ and did prophesy some about John the Baptist, but the Old Testament never prophesies of Timothy. And also, these prophecies are not just or even necessarily about the future. Prophecy in the Bible means that the Spirit was speaking through a prophet. Now, what the Spirit said through that prophet may have been about the future, or it may have been about the present in their time. These prophecies, he says, were given before. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 again. "This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before," that is previously or earlier than Paul wrote this book. They had already been given. But then he says, "they went before on thee." They were said, they were spoken about you, concerning you. Now, there's an interesting passage that sheds some light on the idea of prophecy and on the idea of the Spirit speaking, and it's found in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, before the first missionary journey, we find that Barnabas and Saul are in Antioch, and there are these prophets and teachers there. Look at verse 1 of Acts 13. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." Now notice what the Bible says in verse 2. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now the Holy Spirit spoke on this occasion. The Holy Spirit was speaking. He was speaking through a prophet, one of these prophets, or some of these prophets. That is the Holy Spirit prophesying. The Holy Spirit speaking through a man meant that the Holy Spirit was delivering prophecy. Now, you see that idea of the word prophecy, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29 through 33, where the Bible talks about the Spirit revealing things to and through these prophets in the church at Corinth. And the Bible refers to that as prophesying. It's simply the Holy Spirit speaking through those men. Now, that's what happened here in Acts 13. The Holy Spirit was speaking through these men. He was prophesying through them. Now, when he prophesied, He made a statement. The Holy Spirit spoke and made a statement, not about what was going to happen in the future, but about what he was doing right then in their present. And that is, he selected Saul and Barnabas for this work of the first missionary journey. Now, that was a prophecy. Most of the time when people hear the word prophecy, they immediately think of some prediction of the future. Many times the word prophecy means that, but you also find that the Bible uses that word prophecy simply to refer to revelation given by the Holy Spirit that is not necessarily about the future. Now, if this is the kind of prophecy that Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, when he said, "This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." If these prophecies about Timothy are like what the Holy Spirit said about Barnabas and Saul in Acts 13, verse 2, then this would at least include the Holy Spirit selecting Timothy for a certain work. So, however those prophecies about Timothy were worded, and we don't know specifically how they were said and what was said in those prophecies, Timothy was to be loyal to them. Notice what 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 says about those prophecies and their connection to Timothy. He said, "According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you, Timothy, by them, by these prophecies, might war a good warfare, so that you might fight this good war that Paul is talking about." Now, Paul used many earthly activities to illustrate the Christian life. And here, he uses one of the most common figures to describe what preaching the gospel and living the Christian life is like. It's like a war. It is a fight. Now, Paul mentions this in many other books in the Bible. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, later in this book, he says to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the battle that Peter was talking about. In 1 Peter 2:11, he said that fleshly lusts war against the soul. It's a battle. It's a war. It's a fight. So Paul said to Timothy, "These prophecies about you will help you to fight this war. Remember them, believe them, and be loyal to this commitment that you've made." And then he said in verse 19, "As you fight this spiritual war, you hold on to your faith, because there are going to be many temptations to give up your faith." He said, hold on, hold to your faith, and hold on to a good conscience. Be honest with yourself. Be true to your convictions. And in this battle, you're going to grow tired, but you hold on to these things, although others give them up. As a matter of fact, Paul then goes into the fact that some Christians had given up during the fight. They had given up their faith. They had surrendered a good conscience. In verse 19, he said, "Holding faith, Timothy, and a good conscience, which," that is your faith and a good conscience, "some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." There were Christians in Paul's time that had made shipwreck of their faith. Now, this word shipwreck comes from a Greek word that is used only two times in the New Testament. In one passage in the New Testament, it refers to literal, physical shipwreck. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. That's the shipwreck that Paul experienced in Acts chapter 27. Here, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, he refers to spiritual shipwreck, the fact that these people had wrecked their faith. Now, what happens when a person has a shipwreck of faith? Well, if you go back to the illustration, the boat in a shipwreck is ruined. It doesn't float anymore. It doesn't work anymore. It can't take people to go somewhere anymore. Now, this means that when a person suffers spiritual shipwreck, that person's faith has crashed along the shore on the jagged rocks of unbelief. And what a vivid figure that is. Their faith is destroyed, and they did it. They chose it. These people lost their faith. And with it, obviously, they lost their salvation. when we ask the question, can a child of God lose his salvation? Already in this book, at least twice, Paul says this happened to some people back in his day. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 6, Paul said that some had swerved from the aim or the goal of the commandment, and they had turned aside unto vain jangling. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says that these people had made shipwreck of their faith. Now, that means they lost their salvation. And Paul is not done talking about people who had left God, who had become unfaithful to Christ, and had lost their salvation in this book. He's going to mention this several more times in the book of 1 Timothy. So that's one of the things that you'll want to keep your eyes out for. The fact that many people in the book of 1 Timothy were said to have apostatized. That is, they fell away from the faith. Now, Paul not only talks in general about some of these people who had left the faith and made shipwreck of their faith, he even named two of them. In verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Paul sometimes called the names of false teachers and heretics. He does it here. He does it again in the book of 2 Timothy. He talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul did this by inspiration, and it's interesting that he did it in a public document calling these people's names. Now, Paul delivered these people to Satan, he says, in verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that Paul sent them to hell. Paul didn't, and Paul couldn't send them to hell. These men were still alive. Only God has the power to cast into hell. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5. Hymenaeus and Alexander had been in the company of the church. But now the church has withdrawn from them. The church has pulled back from them. So when a Christian is cut off from Christian people, and he cuts himself off from fellowship with God, who is he left to associate with? Well, that would be the devil and his kind. Now, there's one other time where Paul used this kind of language. It's in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5. There was a man in the church there who had been committing fornication. And Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 that they were to have no company with him. They were not to eat with him. Now, this is the same as what he said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 about that man. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, what a terrible thought that is, to be cut off from God, to be cut off from his people, and to be left in the darkness of sin with the devil himself. Now, of course, a person who has shipwrecked his faith can get it back. He can choose that. This brother at Corinth came back to God, he repented, and he was restored. So that man learned his lesson by being delivered to Satan, that is, by being withdrawn from by the church at Corinth. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said that he had delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan as well. They had been withdrawn from. And Paul said that he delivered these two men to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. They were blaspheming Christians. They were blaspheming Christ. Or they were blaspheming God, or all these. They were speaking evil of things and of people that they should not. By their words and their deeds, they were blaspheming. Now, it was their choice to do that. But after being with the devil for a while, Paul hoped that maybe they would learn not to talk bad about the gospel and the church, and then come back to God in repentance. God help us to hold to faith and a good conscience, and keep fighting a good warfare in Jesus Christ.